Bowing before Great Master Kanchi, Doshin said, "Please, Reverend Monk, I beg you, from your compassion, to impart to me the Dharma Gate of Liberation." Kanchi said, "Who is preventing you from entering?" Doshin answered, "No one is preventing me." Kanchi said, "Then why do you seek liberation from me?" At these words, Doshin experienced a great awakening to his true self. Doshin, he who trusts in the way, was his personal name. His family name was Shima. He lived first in Kanei, but later moved to Keisai in the provincial district of Kisha. From his very birth, he far excelled others. In his boyhood, he practiced various teachings on liberation taught by the schools that taught about shunyata, as if this were some habit inherited from a previous life. When he had just entered his 14th year, he met Great Master Kanchi and made his plea for the priest's compassion until he had a great awakening upon hearing Kanchi's reply. Doshin worked hard serving Kanchi for 9 years, and after receiving the precepts in Kisha, he respectfully held to them with marked conscientiousness. With the utmost subtlety, Kanchi would often test him. When he recognized that Doshin's condition was ripe, he passed on the kesa and the teaching. Doshin pursued Kanchi's approach to training with full concentration and without sleeping. For almost 60 years, he never even lay down. In 617 Common Era, during the Sui Dynasty, Doshin, together with his followers, arrived at Kichisha, where a gang of bandits had been holding the city in its grip for 70 days. The whole populace was terrified, so Doshin took pity on them and taught them how to recite the scripture of great wisdom. Sometime later, the robber band, whilst peering through the openings in the parapet wall, saw what looked like phantom soldiers inside and said amongst themselves, "There must be some extraordinary person within the city. We ought not to attack." As a consequence, they gradually withdrew. In 624 Common Era, Doshin returns to Kisha. during the spring, when he was living on Split Head Mountain, a company of monks gathered about him like clouds. One day, whilst on the road to Ubay Mountain, Yellow Plum Tree, he met Canaan, and from the east side of Oxhead Summit on Split Head Mountain produced a branch of his line. In 627 Common Era, Emperor Taizong of the Tang Dynasty, drawn towards Doshin's practical approach to the teaching, desired to pay his respects to Doshin in person. So he had him summoned to the capital. Doshin humbly declined the emperor's invitation. This summons was sent three times, with Doshin finally pleading illness. With the fourth summons, the emperor commanded his emissary to bring back Doshin's head if the monk really would not come. When the emissary reached the mountain and made known the emperor's instructions, Doshin, with great dignity, stretched out his neck to receive the blade. Finding this behavior extraordinary, the emissary returned to report what had happened. The emperor's admiration for Doshin only increased. He sent the monk a gift of rare silks and left him to his own resolves. In 651 Common Era, on the fourth day of the ninth lunar month, Doshin suddenly gave the following admonition to his disciples. Each and every single solitary thing, without exception, is liberated. Every one of you must keep this in mind. Then let it flow out and transform others in the future. Whereupon he stopped speaking and, sitting tranquilly, passed away in his 72nd year. His body was placed in a stupa on the mountain where he had lived. The next year, on the eighth day of the fourth lunar month, the door to the stupa opened by itself, from no apparent cause. Doshin looked just as he had when alive, and, after this, his disciples did not dare to close the door again. Later, Doshin was given the title of Meditation Master, Great Physician. To be sure, there is no superiority or inferiority in the behavior of any master. Doshin had followed the teaching on Shunyata from boyhood just as though he had done so in a previous life. Throughout his life, he avoided rulers and their ministers. Once having discovered the way, he trained resolutely without ever turning back. From the very first, he proclaimed the Dharma gate to liberation and, at the time of his death, he opened the Dharma gate to liberation to let it be known that, ultimately, no one is ever bound by birth and death. He was truly an extraordinary person, one met with only in 1,000 years. The practice of the teaching on Shunyata has, from the first, been called the Dharma gate to liberation. Why is this? Neither being alive nor being a Buddha ever fetters you. Furthermore, what birth or death is there in which you can participate? Since this is so, this is something that cannot be analyzed or measured in terms of body or mind, or something that can be differentiated in terms of delusion and enlightenment. Even if you talk about mind and external objects or defiling passions and perfect enlightenment, all are but different names for the self. This is why mountains and rivers have no disparity. The karmic effects from the past that manifest as one's environment and as one's body and mind have no differences. Accordingly, O Acharyas, when it is cold enough to kill you. When it is hot enough to slay you. When you have crossed through the barrier gate, this principle will not apply. In other words, there is neither bondage nor liberation, neither this nor that. Things do not set up their names. Objects do not discriminate between their forms. You find fully the effects of your training. So how can you possibly be concerned with what is phenomenal or noumenal? Ultimately, there is no distinction between sitting upright in the meditation hall and just living. Do not abide in time, space, and dualistic views. When you can see things in this way, you no longer need to use the word liberation. How can you despise anything as fettering you? Furthermore, you truly have a radiance. We call this that which sees the three worlds. Your tongue has a sense of taste. This is named that which harmonizes with the six flavors. You emit light everywhere and prepare a feast at all times. As you come to taste it, there is a deeply rich flavor in that which has no flavor. As you come to see it, or go to see it, there is a true form in that which has no characteristic of form. Thus, there is no need to associate with rulers or ministers of state. No obligation for body or mind to sit or lie down. If you can reach this stage, Great Master Doshin will be none other than each and every one of you, and you will all be Great Master Doshin. Is this not what is meant by all things, without exception, being gates to liberation? Is this not what is meant by letting the truth flow out and transform others in the future? The door and windows of the seamless stupa suddenly fly open, and one with the features of an ordinary being emerges genially. Now here again are my humble words. Do you all wish to hear them? Original nature is empty. Its unsullied wisdom holds no thought of right or wrong. Within itself, it recognizes nothing as being fettered or free. Even though we may distinguish five skandhas and four elements, sight and hearing, sound and form, are ultimately nothing other than it.